So, how do you keep worshiping God, loving engaging in worship when you're not really sure that you understand the road he has you on, especially when it is the difficult road of infertility? That's what we're going to be talking about here in the next few minutes. So, I'm Mark Mellinger, inviting you into this conversation on Hope, Faith, and Infertility, a podcast from Southeastern Fertility. I'm the marketing director for Southeastern, and you can find out more by going to southeasternfertility.org. Again, southeasternfertility.org. Our guests today are Madison and Toby Smith, and we're doing something sort of different here. This is going to be sort of like, when I was a kid, occasionally they'd combine a couple TV shows. So you might have the before or first part of an episode on Magnum PI and the second part of an episode, the conclusion on Murder, She Wrote, as they sort of merged the two. Well, we're going to do something sort of similar to that here. We're going to do their before or part one on this particular podcast. And then our hope and vision is to do part two, the conclusion, months down the road on the NEDC podcast. So good to have you two here. And I should mention that you are going through embryo adoption through our nonprofit partners at the National Embryo Donation Center. Let's start though with how you got here. I mean, everybody has a different road and every story is interesting. Talk with me, each of you, about growing up and the road it took to get you to this point.
Oh man, I don't even know. What do you think? Where should we start with it?
How early do we want to go?
Well,
good. We have huge families, so we kind of started with that, I guess. We started dating really early. We started dating at 15, mm-hmm. So we've kind of grown up together. But we both came from large families. He's got. How many siblings?
I've got three brothers and two sisters.
Three sisters and
that
two brothers.
That I know of. We're not sure.
No, you have three sisters and two brothers. See, we're getting lost already. And I've got four brothers and two sisters. Mm-hmm. So we both have huge families. Mm-hmm.
Half siblings, parents.
Step siblings,
Remarried, divorced and remarried multiple times.
But we both came from huge families. So, and we both, I think, are always knew that we wanted to have kids eventually. And us starting dating early, we
kind of told ourselves first off to be committed to each other.
Right.
With all the inconsistencies we've mm-hmm. had growing up, we wanted, a rock for each other.
Yeah. We wanted to show each other consistency because neither mm-hmm. of us had consistency growing up. With having divorced parents and things like that. But once we had a miscarriage pretty early.
We were
18 and 19 and we had an early miscarriage around 8 weeks. It was unexpected, but that kind of, I think there was a shift in us at that point of mm-hmm. us wanting to think about once we did start a family, what was that going to look like for us? We had always.
Because we weren't necessarily. Obviously, we weren't like trying at that age, but once it happens, it's kind of like
your mindset shifts completely as soon as you find out that that's going to happen. You're going to
you get ready for it, and you mm-hmm. get you do all this planning, and then it happens, and then you're like, oh man, we missed out.
Yeah, as fast as it was there, it's gone. Mm-hmm. And so once we were married for probably about a year, and then we decided to start trying to get pregnant, actively. Mm-hmm. We tried for almost a year, mm-hmm. And it just wasn't working. Things weren't regular for me. Mm-hmm. So I went for, a routine yearly checkup, and I just had some concerns that I talked to my doctor about, and that's whenever we found out that it wasn't going to happen naturally.
Mostly overall for her general health, mm-hmm. Not necessarily we were trying, but I guess what the most important thing was that she was healthy and that mm-hmm. she had her hormones and everything.
Yeah. So we took a break from that and we kind of shifted our focus of growing our family. We shifted that focus to making sure that I'm healthy mm-hmm. and making sure that we're healthy. And then once we decided that we wanted to take our next steps, we found egg donation. We had an appointment to see how we could finance that. And It wasn't it. We were really open
to really anything.
Yeah.
And we went into the first appointment and with an open mind, positive outlook on everything.
And we left and felt super beat down.
Yeah.
Just completely I guess it was
like a God thing, you know, it kind of, because we saw the cost and everything and.
It just didn't feel natural.
Yeah. It wasn't like a, it wasn't something, you know, when things don't feel right, they just don't feel right.
So we did some Googling and we found the NEDC and it was like a breath of fresh air, I guess. What we felt like we were drowning in the cost of egg donation and just it didn't feel natural. And then we found in the NEDC and it was like
kind of just stumbled upon it.
Yeah. I mean, and just
what were you doing? Just a Google search?
Yeah, just Googling options that were similar to egg donation.
I think Emory, we were in Emory and then at that time that we were going through.
You guys are in Atlanta, by the way. I should mention that. You know, so when people hear the term Emory, it's a huge hospital and health organization in Atlanta. So just wanted to set the context there. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, we're in Metro Atlanta, but
we were there, and at the time they didn't offer
embryo adoption.
So we were kind of looking elsewhere. I think we're Googling
different options. We didn't even know what it was, but we found the term embryo adoption on Google. And I was like, what is that? And the first thing that popped up was the NEDC. And we clicked on the website. And I think the first thing that we did, we watched like a vlog almost from maybe one of the couples that had adopted or donated. And they said something about how it's like giving birth to your adopted child. And I was like, that's it.
Yeah, given the chance of life to something that would not else have that chance.
Yeah.
I guess. So frozen in time or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of the short story in the long form of us getting here.
Well, you know, and for people who don't understand what embryo adoption is, and you know, full disclosure, I work for both places. I do this work for Southeastern Fertility, but my main job, the lion's share easily of what I do is doing marketing and development for the NEDC. And I, you know, I've been there for many years and came aboard the NEDC because of the awesome life-affirming mission that it is. For folks who are going with fertility, who are undergoing fertility problems, struggles, and don't really understand what embryo donation and adoption is, these are embryos that are remaining in almost every case with the NEDC from other couples successful IVF. So these are sets of embryos. Children have been born from them. And again, in almost every case. And the people who developed the embryos are done building their families, but they've intentionally said, I do not want to destroy these embryos, to just let them languish. They are valuable. They are life. And we want to give them a chance to experience the love of a family. And that's where the NEDC comes in. The NEDC will accept those embryos and then find couples such as yourself who want to adopt those embryos and provide them with loving families. What was it as you learned more about embryo adoption that appealed to the two of you?
I think the just how they honored the sanctity of life.
Yeah,
that is what got me. I don't know if that's the same for you, but that's what got me was just honoring the sanctity of life. I like that you can give life to something that may not have had it. You know what I mean? It started and then it was frozen. And then you can carry that life on. And it's so cool, the different options that are, you know, the different, I guess, things that these embryos could, the different people that these embryos could be adopted to, I guess, or different homes that they could go to. It's so cool that there's so many different options for them. I love it. It's the coolest thing to me.
Well, and I don't know exactly, full disclosure, I guess I didn't do my research well enough going into this interview. I don't know exactly where you guys are in the process right now. I remember when we met a couple months ago, we were right there in the room, but I didn't know how far along you were in the matching process. So why don't you give people an idea, give them a little window into what it's like to go through embryo adoption, through the process with the NADC, and then let us know exactly where you are, because you guys have not had your transfer yet. That much I do know. So update me.
It's honestly, I think we've both said so much in the past just couple weeks. Mm-hmm. This can go as fast or as slow as you want it to. We had no idea timeline. So we submitted our application on Valentine's Day. It was our gift to each other. On Valentine's Day was submitting our application. And then from there, we did our home study pretty quick. Our home study was completed before our mock transfer in June. That was our first appointment. Our initial appointment was in June. That's when we met. And so we, as soon as we left that appointment, we had to wait, you know, a couple weeks since the donor portal was down, but we got access to the donor portal the weekend of the 4th of July. And on July 4th, we reserved our donors. And
we actually told ourselves that we're not going to, we're not going to pick anybody yet, because
we wanted to,
we
take
just
our
got
time.
Access to the portal, and we just, you know, we can't just go through all of these and rush it or whatever. But we ended up, I think we submitted 3 different donors.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that 2 of them were already
reserved.
Booked.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a hotel.
Booked, you know, but reserved.
Reserved. For usage.
Yeah.
And so
our favorite donors out of all 3 were the only ones that were available. And on the 4th of July, we got, you know, the clear that we were able to reserve them. And then about a week or 2 later, we found out that they picked us back. And actually this week, last week, we got our almost finalized.
Open
donation agreement. And we sent it back and had it notarized and everything on Sunday. So we're just, we're strong, pretty much matched. We're waiting on the notarized copy from the donors.
You know, and this is interesting. And by the way, I'll put in a little disclaimer. One of our major projects that we have going on here in the fall is getting the donor database to the next level, so to speak, so that we won't have any complications like that, where you're able to reserve somebody who's already reserved by someone else. So be rest assured, we just rolled the donor database out this year for its full launch, and we are working hard on that this fall. So that shouldn't be a problem in the future. But hey, it's real life, and it's what happened. I'm glad that the very first one that you guys wanted the most was the one that worked out. That's awesome how God did that. You know, okay, so here's one thing. You can go open or close through the NEDC, and you guys chose to do the ODA. You went open, and that does add time and expense to the process. You probably added a couple months to your journey, not to mention somewhere in the neighborhood of a little under a couple thousand dollars, right? Yeah, you remember exactly how much it was.
Yep.
So let me ask you, a lot of people might be listening to this saying, and by the way, we don't recommend one journey over the other. You can go closed or open, but a lot of people might be listening and say, well, gosh, why add the time and expense? Why not just go closed? Share with me your thoughts, why you wanted to go open.
Yeah.
So I think, that was one of the things that we wanted when we started looking into this, is that if we were to do this, we had our mindset that we wanted to do open adoption.
Yeah.
And it is a little bit more expensive with mediation and everything. And it does take, it's a possibility that it does take longer, but we didn't want our decision to be swayed by a financial thing,
right,
or you know, just to be an antsy about it kind of
thing. We wanted to take our emotions out of it, because I think that the thought of closed adoption was a little bit easier for us, not having you know, donors that we needed to communicate with on a regular basis, or even other recipients. Personally, with our donors, the embryos have been adopted a few times, so we have more people that we need to stay in contact with. And I think that closed was going to be easier for us. But at the end of the day, we ultimately decided on adoption or open adoption because of we want to be able to tell the babies or the baby that is a product of this exactly where they came from and who they are. And they're going to have siblings, you know, out there that we want them to meet. We only want to do this once. Yeah. So if we only have one baby from it, we want them to know their siblings. If we have two, we want them to know their siblings.
That's almost perfect because whether we have one or two, our baby already has
six siblings out there. So just the fact that we want them to know where they came from. We want them to know their medical history, their family tree. And with, you know, ancestry.com and 23andMe, there's so many.
There's no such thing as a closed adoption.
Right. Yep. That's exactly right.
And I didn't want what made me uncomfortable to be something that was a factor in what our decision was, or what made us uncomfortable. And honestly,
like we said in the beginning, you know, we like consistency and being open from the get-go. Yeah, I feel like it's a little bit more consistent and honest, you know.
And our journey through the open adoption has actually changed so much from where we started. We went into it wanting to contact them maybe once a year. And now we are as open as possible. I think we're going to do like video chats with the donors. And
probably go on vacation.
We want to meet them as open as possible. You know what I mean? Even before we're even pregnant, just so that we can kind of build that communication and that relationship with them.
Those are beautiful relationships, by the way. I've seen a lot of them.
Yeah, we're really excited about it. But that's, I think that's kind of what started us.
One of the things that, like, I have to say we've gone pretty quickly through the process, even though we've done an open adoption, which takes a little bit longer. But I think that we have actually went as fast as a closed adoption would have gone, just because of how, like, open we are with everything.
We're trying
how
to
open
let
our donors are.
Yeah, we're trying to take our emotions out of it and let God lead the way. So whatever comes to our heart and we feel is the right thing to do, we're just going to do it. So during mediation, I don't even think we even needed to mediate, honestly. I think that
they call it a mediation, but
our little form that we filled out, we were like, whatever is fine. And the donors had the same thing. So whatever we put on the initial form was what was on the finalized form. So,
Well, I'm so glad that this has worked out so well for you guys. And, are you scheduled for a cycle yet?
Not yet. We have an idea, but
it'll happen soon. Okay, probably this fall, I'm gonna guess.
Oh yeah,
we're hoping.
Well, man, that's awesome. Yes,
we're excited.
Oh well, you should be. I mean, this is an exciting time in your life, and you know, I know it's obvious listening to you guys that your faith is really important to you. And Toby, if I remember right, you're a worship leader. So tell me how your relationship with God has grown during all this and how your faith has helped you through the journey.
Oh, man.
Oh, it's the hard questions.
That's the hard one. Honestly, going through infertility can either make or break your faith. Mm-hmm. I feel like you can either,
it depends on how, I guess how, I don't know if it's an amount of faith. I don't know if faith is a thing that can be measured, because they say,
right.
The size of a mustard seed of faith can get you so long. So as long as you have that little bit of faith, I think that goes a very long way. And with us, I mean, going through, like, starting this process, we've involved the church and everything. And I think being around with people who have the same attitude, you know, positive vibes and everything, and helps a whole lot.
It's a lot of trusting. You have to be so trusting in God's plan for you. Yeah. We know that God's plan is for us to have a baby. We know it is.
I think part of trusting is kind of getting out of your own way. You know, if you're a control freak, you kind of have to,
and I am,
kind of have to get out of your own way. I mean, well, you got to let God be God and let him do what he does, you know.
That's something that I've had to work on. I like to have a plan for everything, and you cannot plan this. You can't plan infertility, and you can't plan embryo adoption, even. You can have an estimated timeline, but you can't plan it. And so something I've had to do is just get out of my own way and stop trying to plan everything and being a perfectionist and just know that whatever is going to happen is God's will. It's crazy. I'm not even nervous about the transfer, which I probably should be a little bit, but I'm not, because I know that if it works, it's what God wants. And if it doesn't, it's not the time yet. So honestly, just, I feel like if you learn to trust God through it all and get out of your own way, you're going to go a lot farther in this journey.
Instead of trying to, I guess, go on your timeline, I don't know.
Well, it's important. It's an important point because I think where that trust comes from, and I agree with what you said, Toby. I don't know that faith is an actual thing. The faith is really the trust. It's about who we trust in, right? And just a little bit of trust is what we need. And we know that He can do us no wrong. That is where a faith like this comes from. Whatever He has for you, He can do us no wrong, even though sometimes it doesn't always feel like that, right? Mm-hmm. But I love how you two are living that out right now. How old are you two right now?
24. I'll be 25 in November. He just turned 24.
Okay. So really almost a 10-year journey and so much there back there along the way. But here you are, and we can't wait to see what the Lord does in your life. Well, thank you for inspiring us with your story of faith. And like I said, this is the beginning. This isn't the end. We will look forward to doing a part two with you guys over on the Embryo Adoption Podcast on the NEDC side, if that sounds like a plan. Are you up for it?
Oh, yeah, I'm up for it.
Well, continued prayers being sent your way from Knoxville, and blessings to you too from all of us here at Southeastern Fertility. I'm Mark Mellinger. This has been Hope, Faith, and Infertility, a podcast from Southeastern Fertility, and you can find out more by going to southeasternfertility.org, southeasternfertility.org. Talk to you next time.